This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. A stunning season for the FGCU Eagles baseball team. They saw their first NCAA tournament and a ranking of 9 in the nation. We're later in the show, we're talking with Coach Dave Tillett, who's been with the team from its inception 15 years ago. We'll talk about how far the team's come and about the now regular occurrence of FGCU players being drafted into the major leagues. But first, a new study shows that local arts programs are more than a pretty picture. They're a significant contributor to local economies, to the tune of $107 million spent in the industry in Collier County in fiscal year 2015, and another $140 million in Lee County. Still, it is the first target when budget cuts loom, but arts advocates, like the Americans for the Arts Group, which put together this study, hope that economic evidence like this may serve as a more tangible defense. Here to talk about the economic impact of the arts in Southwest Florida is Lydia Black with the Alliance for the Arts. Thanks for being here.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure.
Also with us today is Laura Burns with the United Arts Council of Collier County. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
We are talking about the arts and the impact that they have on the community, not just culturally, but economically. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. First, Lydia Black with the Alliance for the Arts. Were you surprised by the actual dollars that people in our area spend on the arts?
I think I'm always surprised when I see the arts quantified in numbers. It's so often that we talk about arts as entertainers, arts as drivers, as community builders. And so what's interesting about looking at the arts as socioeconomic drivers is that, sure, we are surprised. We see what our audiences are spending, whether they're going to a Florida rep show, stopping by a local restaurant, buying new shoes for a ballroom dancing class. So we are excited to see growth in that economic impact in Lee County and continue to expect it to rise as our economy grows.
Seeing dollar figures like that, does that provide like a bit of validation sort of?
I don't know if I'd say validation, because I think arts in itself, the work that artists do in music and dance and visual arts stands on its own. But what this allows us to do, quantifying these numbers, really allows us to open the conversation with business leaders, with policymakers, with folks who can really transform lives and transform the sector and the industry itself.
Well, with these numbers, you're speaking the same language.
Absolutely. The return on investment, the investment, what arts bring outside of that arts and entertainment. It's about dollars and cents and economic revitalization.
So where is that money being spent? $140 million in Lee County. Is it being spent on canvases or performances?
It's actually being spent on a host of things. And what I like about this output model of the economic impact study is it breaks down organizational expenditures and it breaks down our audience expenditures. So I think between Collier and Lee, we had over 2,000 audience intercept surveys. So we saw people spending money at local restaurants, at shops that are near theater venues or near visual arts or gallery shows. So it's not just the art supplies. It's showing how a dollar is reinvested in the community multiple times over, whether Florida Rep goes to a local hardware store, buys wood and platforming and all the nuts and bolts of their set design, and then that hardware store employs a person and it goes on and on and on invested into the community. And so we do see a host of drivers when it says, where are people spending their money? It's not simply art supplies. It's bookkeepers, it's office supplies and copy machines, and how do our audiences and our organizations really spend dollars here in Southwest Florida?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It gives a person a reason to leave the house and go do something other than just go out to eat, which it seems is also been elevated to an art form in this area. So Laura Burns with the United Arts Council of Collier County, what did you think when you saw how much money Collier County citizens spend on the arts here? I mean, you're new to this area?
I am new to this area. I've been here just on 1 year. And what I always find wonderful is the support that arts and culture get in our community in Collier County. And so, of course, there's always room to grow and to look at how we leverage our relationships with our community partners, our business partners, and our government partners. So my surprise and anticipation will be that over the course of the next few years and by the time the next study is ready to kick off, we will be able to find out how much more we contribute to the arts.
How often do they do this study?
We typically try to do this study every 5 years. It's a significant study. This is not just something that's happening here in Southwest Florida. The Americans for the Arts is a national arts organization. So we saw folks in all 50 states, whether representing cities, municipalities, counties, or states, participate.
It's a really great website, and we have a link to the website on our website at wgcunews.org under the Gulf Coast Live tab. You can look for this story, and you'll find a link to the website, and it has – I love when they have it with a map, and you can go to your state, and you can zoom in and figure out the region, the county, the city, and it gets really right in there, and you can look at other places too and see how you compare.
Absolutely. What's really exciting about this, and Laura can attest to this, is that Florida had a really large contingency at the National Conference for the Americans for the Arts. We're really seeing our partners in Broward and up north in Ocala and Sarasota and a variety of counties participating to make the case for the arts, to not only be advocates for our artists and our performing and our visual organizations, but really to see the growth of the sector as a whole in the state of Florida. So I know that both Laura and I are interested in how we fit into that and how we can make sure that we are serving our communities well, but also making a case for why it's important to invest in the arts. And you asked a great question that I'm not sure that we answered very well, is that you talked about audience spending, and we deferred immediately to our residents. But what's lesser known is that the cultural tourism, that folks that are coming in, our audiences that are coming in to Artiste Naples, that are coming to the zoo, that are coming to Edison Ford Winter State, Sting Darling, Art Fest Fort Myers, and the host of folks that are serving the arts here are spending more money. They're staying in hotels. There's heads in beds. And that generates more taxes and more income for our community and our residents. So what we see is that the arts are really vital to making sure cultural tourism is vibrant, that people can come for the beaches, they can come for spring training, but they can stay longer for the arts.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask Laura, what kind of problems do the arts face? I mean, if they're generating millions of dollars, I mean, they're talking about the greater community, but like specifically the arts organizations, what kind of budget concerns do they have and how do they kind of get shortchanged?
Well, with the funding landscape, which is ever changing, the organizations in Collier County specifically had to reevaluate their funding models and how they generated their income, be it earned income, grants, or endowments, right? And as our times change, there'll be the opportunity for those organizations to look at how to make more of a three-tiered approach or four-tiered approach so that they can balance their funding objectives with the actualities. Let's face it, we all know that the arts, as you said earlier, are on the chopping block for national funding.
It seems
and federal
all the time.
Funding. Right.
All the time.
That's right.
I mean, it's perennial. I mean, like every single budget season, there are threats to arts programs.
And that's why this study is so important.
Do you think this is going to help you make the case better?
This does help us make the case better because I think the arts partners need to have a conversation that the business community has. What is the return on investment? What are local governments investing in the arts community? And I know Southwest Florida, one of the cases we're trying to make is to talk to our local representatives. Sure, you can see our impact, but we're doing this with relatively little investment in both Lee and Collier counties. So how do we make the argument to have some support from the bed tax dollars? How do we make an argument for larger line items in city and state governments? And now our organization is almost 90% earned income. We're not looking to have full funding, but what we're looking to do is supplement some of those larger scale projects, the capital improvement projects. How do we create more venues in our county to provide arts entertainment, to provide festivals and music concerts and give artists a venue and a platform to be able to show their wares?
And a reason to come. And audiences getting used to knowing where to go.
Absolutely.
And I think part of that is being at the table with government policy development and the information that we've gotten from this economic impact study allows us to go with the quantifiable evidence to not justify or rationalize, but to state the case in black and white that these are the dollars that are coming in with very little support. So as we get more support, we'll be able to contribute even more then to our state and local government economies and our individuals who live in those communities.
Very good point. It's very often you talk about us being on the chopping block, and that's because I think many times we do the incorrect thing of looking at the arts as just as an income line item or an expense line item. And what we don't see is the revenue produced. So if we can say, here are the expense numbers, but here's the income that it drives back into the local and state economies, at the national economies.
Taking a more holistic look at it.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it just seems sort of, I don't know, incongruous to look at something like the arts in black and white. But you have to when you're trying to make a case. And we were talking a little bit more at the black and white about how much – you mentioned three tiers of funding. You have donors and grants, and then you have government, and then your own income that you're earning yourself.
Yes.
About what percent – how does that tend to break down? You mentioned 90% is earned income at the Alliance.
I think it's really hard for us to quantify for each of our partner organizations. But I think in general, the nonprofit arts community typically budgets on less than 10% in grant revenue in mm-hmm. dollars that we don't know are actual. And I would say most of our partners budget relatively conservatively. If you have a facility, you have more revenue sources. We have a 10-acre campus provide kids' arts classes, year-round arts programming, theater programming, a green market on Saturdays. So we have revenue coming in from all of our programs. And what we're not saying here is, hey, we're just making the case for additional funding. We want to change the conversation about how cultural institutions really build community, how they're the fabric of the places where we live, work, and play, and how our arts community can come alongside the strategic planning process, economic development, community revitalization, health and wellness, education, that we're not a silo unto ourselves, but that the arts are integral into community building and attracting new workforces and attracting new tourists and out-of-county dollars being invested here.
And also new young creative people.
Very much so.
We
new
need a
young
lot
creative
of those.
We need a diversity.
We have a lot. We have some great people. We have some really great artists.
You know, we have challenges in the arts community of how do we make sure, you know, our symphonies, how do we integrate younger people? We have folks like Gulf Coast Symphony who's doing a lot of great young people programming, whether it's music work with the Heights Foundation. But I think there's a misnomer, right? When folks think of the arts, we might think of all different things. The arts are not museum, not just museums and galleries and theater performances. They're about creating social change, having a conversation about water quality issues and how art solves environmental challenges, how we can create young leaders who think outside of the box, who become the next generation of presidents and governors and WGCU hosts because, you know, we do like our NPR partners.
Yeah, well, I like us too. I think we're all right. We are talking about the arts in Southwest Florida and a new study showing how many millions of dollars are spent by fans of the arts in our area. You can become part of this conversation, too, by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And I wanted to talk a little bit about philanthropy. Laura, in Collier County, you're new in the area. Are you surprised by the philanthropy levels in that county?
I think it's a really pleasant surprise,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I had spent 3 years overseas in New Zealand, and philanthropy over there is a whole new conversation and concept for them. So to come back home and then to be in a community like Collier County and Naples, Florida in particular, it's really refreshing to see that independent support.
Mm-hmm. And Lydia, in Lee County, do you see a lot of philanthropy there?
We do indeed. I think Southwest Florida, with the amount of retirees that are coming down, with folks are in a generation where they're used to giving and supporting not just back home, but supporting here locally. You know, I always like to say, although our development director, part of her team would probably kill me, but, you know, having a project that's funded by hundreds of people at the $5, $10, $15, $25 level is a real commitment. You know that best here at NPR and WGCU, that it's a collective, that getting folks engaged, whether they're, you know, 12 years old and have sold a piece on the wall and are donating back to the organization where they take classes, or whether you are, you know, retired and have a little dollars that are discretionary dollars that you can invest in something that you enjoy, I think is a really good part of building community. And one of the unique things that we learned in the study is we also did some surveying about volunteers. And I know that WGCU has had a host of radio shows on how important our volunteers are to the community, where we can say in Lee County we have almost 4,000 jobs created in the nonprofit arts sector, but we have thousands, tens of thousands of volunteers donating or volunteering their time and energy as consultants, as administrators.
Their
expertise is amazing. I know that at the Alliance, we would not survive without the dozens of volunteers who provide 8 or more hours of service every week.
What's great about the retirees, too, who do this kind of volunteering is they're people that have already done their life's training. You don't have to train them. They don't need someone to help them figure – I mean, you know, little things. But, I mean, they have gone through a whole life of being an expert in a certain field, and they can bring that in a volunteer capacity, which is – that's pretty helpful.
It's wonderful. And we've worked with volunteers who've really opened our eyes to new opportunities. And, you know, so to bring this back to the conversation about philanthropy – a lot of times if you look at social services, health and wellness, education compared to what the arts and culture community receives, you'll see that the arts and culture community is way farther down on the rankings. And what our jobs I would attest that as a leader in the arts community, I need to make sure we're switching that conversation. Because if we look at the arts and culture community, we look at how we're affecting change. So the volume of education, the programs that we bring into schools, the art visual arts projects that Laura has in Immokalee, working with underserved students and underserved residents, to making sure there's more integration and diversity into our theater scene. And so the arts community plays more than just the role of arts and entertainment.
It's more than a pretty picture.
And it's more than dollars and cents. Right. It's about changing and transforming communities to be healthier and provide better opportunities for the people who live there and the people who come to visit.
Yeah. We have a call coming in from Marco in Fort Myers. Marco, what would you like to add to the conversation?
Hi, how are you? First time caller, long time listener.
Great, thanks.
Thank you for having me on the air. So I just wanted to touch base. I represent a company called Gulf Coast Leisure, GCO, and we've been in the Fort Myers area for the past 5 years. We started in 2012, and we host an event. It's called Art and Poetry Networking Event out of the Cindy and Bernie Davis Arts Center.
It's a great event.
And
we've been.
Oh, okay. Awesome. We're so happy. So how do we help? You know, because we are, you know, just part of the community. You know, we've been doing the culture, the diversity, and community part for so long that, you know, we want to take it to the next level. We're right now in the phase of rebranding. We're incredibly passionate about, you know, bringing diversity to the South Florida community. And, you know, we want to help grow. And everything you ladies have just said has, I can, you know, attest to in a very impactful manner. At the events, you know, with artists, and not just artists, but people who have not had the opportunity to go and check out something, you know, arts and entertainment related, like you stated, and get inspired, and they become artists. So, yeah, I mean, you know, how can GCL help the South Florida community even more?
GCL. And I would argue that GCL is already helping to transform the landscapes. The partnership that you have with the Cindy Byrne Davis Arts Center is an amazing one. And I think that your passion to bring poetry and storytelling and music and the diversity of faces is an important one, and that you're already doing it. In terms of dollars and cents, this study was only for nonprofit arts and entertainment folks who have a NTE classification, so we keep that have public disclosure laws. So this doesn't include folks who have only been in existence for under 3 years. It doesn't include the Broadway Palm Dinner Theater. It doesn't include those for-profit institutions like Barbara B. Mann
or individual artists,
because we can't make sure that we're getting the correct numbers. And so I would argue that GCL is an important component of what we do and who we are. And we actually just brought up your names in the office yesterday. So you either have an email from Desiree or a phone call from her, I'm sure, waiting for you.
So explain to me a little bit about how these different communities are formed. You have the Alliance for the Arts. Well, that's not just one gallery. So explain to me what the role is of the Alliance for the Arts and also the center in Collier County.
The Alliance is over a 40-year-old institution. We started with some amazing artists who came together and said, we need a place to gather. We need a gathering spots for the arts where we can celebrate, where we can bring our work, where we can be educated. Since then, it's grown into a 10-acre campus that does host gallery and classrooms and studio space for local artists. We have amazing practicing artists on site at the Union Artist Studios and our friends, the Ocasio Casa. And so our institution is interesting in that we're both a local arts agency. So we're the designated county local arts agency that does advocacy work. And this economic impact study is one of the ways we do that. The second role is that we're a program presenter and incubate. We bring in artists. We bring in other organizations and help grow and incubate into new things. We've grown a lot of festivals out of our property.
Like a poetry slam guy might come to you and say, hey, I'd like to set up this thing. Mm-hmm. How do I go about doing that?
Yep. Those have started. We have art poems, broadsides. We have a poetry group that meets monthly. We have a literary playwright groups. So our job is to create a space where people can gather and interact with art, but also interact with each other. Mm-hmm. That there are social opportunities for folks to push the envelope, that there are opportunities for our artists to engage, to be part of a teaching community or an exhibiting community. So we are both a local arts agency, but we're also a program presenter and incubator that provides a gathering space for our artists and our community to meet each other.
Mm-hmm. And then, Laura, tell me a little bit about the United Arts Council.
So the United Arts Council is just over 35 years old, and we are, as Lydia had said, the local arts agency designated by the state. And what we have set our sights on and what our mission is enriching our communities through the power of the arts, right? And we have focused intently on arts education for at-risk youth and also offering art opportunities for the underserved and low-income seniors in our county. So with that, as one arm of our mission, we serve over 2,500 children in the underserved regions then in Collier County, so Golden Gate City and Immokalee and the like. For our LAA designation, we act as a threshold and a holder of information for the arts and cultural organizations that are in our county, and we are there to help promote all of the things that they are doing to help then educate and be a springboard for them if they need additional resources to teach better and have inclusionary techniques, then that's what UAC is here to do. Mm-hmm. So it really is about building that collective economy and the creative community for the county.
Mm-hmm. So, and one of the aspects that the study showed is that the arts create a number of jobs in Lee County. A little over 3,800 jobs are created by the arts, and in Collier County, 2,900. What kind of jobs are these? They're full-time equivalent jobs. What does that mean?
Absolutely. So some of these are one-for-one. So you could be an art administrator, a gallery director, someone who has a full-time job in the arts, whether it's working in interior design in the nonprofit sector or architecture. It's a variety of full-time jobs. The full-time equivalent jobs are artists who are teaching full-time. We have some artists who teach it 9 hours a mm-hmm. week, every week for the entire year. And so they put together bookkeepers and accountants and all those folks that are employed by those nonprofit arts and cultural entities. And, you know, jobs, it's a big conversation whether you're here in Southwest Florida or across the country. And so for us to see significant growth from our baseline 2010 number of just over 2,000 all the way up to almost 4,000, it's a real significant jump, and we're glad to see continued employment opportunities in the creative economy.
Are they kind of gig jobs, or is that like a gig economy too with some of the artists?
Absolutely, it is. Because as an artist or a working artist, a lot of times you diversify in what it is that you do so that you can make your ends meet, and you might not teach classes all day. You might then sell your artwork and do in a traditional gallery setting or online. You might then also make presentations. So it really is about being that independent contractor, as Lydia had stated earlier, so that they can make their ends meet with a way that fits their own lifestyle and their creative needs.
And that is a hustle. It is hard doing a gig lifestyle and being a freelancer.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
It is.
But especially here, do you see a lot of people having a hard time? I mean, starving artists to the extreme when we have such a lack of affordable housing?
Absolutely. I think affordable housing throughout Southwest Florida, whether you want to be a teacher, a firefighter, an artist, an arts administrator, we have to solve the issue of affordable housing. We find our artists struggle with both the healthcare mm-hmm. conversation that's happening nationally. We find artists are struggling in traditional arts. We're not just talking about visual arts. I think many times when we say the word artist, we think visual arts, canvas, paint. But we have poets and storytellers and musicians and dancers and actors. And, you know, we have Florida Rep is a significant driver of theater jobs in our community. We have Ding Darling, Edison Ford Winter Estates, Big Arts that are diversity of artist positions, whether it's in any of those roles. So I think that, you know, as we continue to look at jobs, when we look at more investment in the arts, more jobs come.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that being tough down in Collier too? I think Collier is in slightly worse shape as far as affordable housing than Lee County, but they're both not affordable.
Right. What we see is a lot of partnerships and roommates, because you do whatever you need to do to make your life what you want it to be.
It's tough though, because when you're an artist, you have to do it. I mean,
right.
If you don't do it, you're going to just lose your mind.
I mean, well, and I think part of, you know, our jobs, and this is an area that there's growth. There's tons of room for growth, is that we need to provide welcoming communities for artists, because artists shouldn't have to struggle this much. They create so much beauty and aesthetic interest and create a community conversation. That we need to be able to provide better solutions. You know, we're excited to see the city of Fort Myers looking at different cultural districts, looking at the Midtown area for potential growth in affordable housing and multi-level housing.
They were talking about doing an arts district.
Indeed. Downtown Fort Myers has been on and off talking about how do we capitalize on artists like Marcus Jansen, who could have a studio anywhere in the world, and he's chose to stay in Fort Myers. And he's transformed different open areas that have been empty forever. So how do we drive? How do we look at transportation and green spaces and the arts and cultural community and affordable housing and education? And how do we make our community more livable? And I know both Laura and I would say that the arts are a vital component to making sure that happens. And so we're excited to see the community having a conversation about affordable housing, about workforce training, and about creating communities and neighborhoods that are supportive of the arts, mm-hmm. that are walkable and livable and you know, really do promote beauty and aesthetics and community gathering spots.
We have a lot of people who come here from somewhere else, either as part-time residents or even full-time residents who are still just getting their bearings. And I want to pose the question to both of you. What would be the best way for someone who's interested in learning more about Southwest Florida's art scene to find out about what's out there? Where would be the first stop in Collier County?
Well, of course, I would encourage them to go to the United Arts Council of Collier County's website. And on that, we have a calendar of events that show what's happening with all of our member organizations and also individual artists. We then have a database that shows the different types of artists that we have under our umbrella and where to locate them and how to contact them. And then we also distribute brochures to local concierges and then also to the Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development and the Tourism Development Council. So the website is a great tool, and I'm sure Lydia would say the same thing.
Is there a geographical area that you can point to in Collier County that kind of is like a hotspot for arts, or is it kind of just sprinkled throughout?
I would say it's sprinkled throughout. Old Naples and the city of Naples has a great list of things happening all the time. And once you come into those neighborhoods, you can get the beat on what's happening from the locals, because mm-hmm. a lot of times we don't necessarily hear everything in advance. So you kind of have to have your feet on the ground.
You're probably busy doing that thing called working. So
right.
You can't be out chatting with people about what's going on down the street at every individual private gallery.
Right.
But yeah. So, Lydia, where do you think people should start maybe in Lee?
I think that the Visitors Convention Bureau is a wonderful source for our visitors who are coming in or folks who are coming to live here or work here. They provide a wonderful online calendaring for Sanibel, Fort Myers. Please come into the Alliance. You can visit us at artinlee.org. We know a variety of events happening. Our front desk is super responsible to make sure that we can point people in the right direction, whether you want to see the theater and visit Lab Theater or Theater Conspiracy or Florida Rep, or whether you're going out to Sanibel and want to participate in big art. So we try to really make sure that we're encouraging both our residents and our out-of-town guests to spread out and go partake in the arts, whatever it is your art form, and experiment and be creative and be part of that creative economy.
Yeah, just get out there and take it in.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of issues do you see maybe going forward for the arts community in Southwest Florida?
I think funding initiatives are a big initiative or a big issue moving forward. I think that Florida is at the bottom of the list when it comes to funding for arts and cultural. Here in Southwest Florida, bed tax dollars, re-granting dollars are not as available to our arts and cultural partners. So we really have to We have to solve that. We have to make the case that investing in the arts is important, particularly if we want to see growth in capital, growth in the ability to provide more places to go, things to do. So I think that's a big issue facing our arts community. I'm still working together as a collaborative effort in a regional manner and breaking out of our counties, breaking out of our cities, which is why I love this partnership with Collier County, is that we're looking to create a regional study. And I must give props where props due to the Southwest Florida Community Foundation, who's really encouraging those multi-regional areas.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for now, but I want to thank our guests, Lydia Black with the Alliance for the Arts and Laura Burns with the United Arts Council of Collier County. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, we sit down with Coach Dave Tillett, whose FGCU Eagles baseball team ranked number 9 in the nation this season and sent another handful of players to the major leagues. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.